hopefully that wasn't pain. Corrects at times, and even his corrections or even the suffering we go through is a blessing from God, because he only wants what's best for our souls. So in the Strong's, one's Greek and one is the Hebrew, Old Testament, New Testament, prosperity. You know, sometimes prosperity might not be a good thing for us, but he blesses us because of whatever reason we're going to get into. Gift, present, that peace, that treaty of peace. All right, in the New Testament's to prosper, to make happy. You know, you can't find happiness outside of God. You know, you might find pleasure, but you won't find that without it. It isn't possible. Be favored of God, to be blessed. That's the definition. Important. The next slide is, why do we receive His blessings? How do we get them? You know, isn't that important to you? How we can tap into those blessings, God's blessings, which ultimately will lead to salvation. How do we get it? And I've this is question and answer here. I'll give you six for yourself. You know, you do. Just because of repentance or baptism, because our labor in keeping His commandments, prayer or seeking the Lord, because of our hope or righteous desire, because of our faith that we believe, put our trust in for exceeding faith. Now, every one of these are in the Scriptures that we receive blessings, every one of them. But if we were to rank these, what is the top two? It's in the Scriptures, the reason we're given blessings. F, because of our faith, we believe, we put our trust in our receiving faith. That's one, maybe. Maybe. Maybe it's one of the top two. D, prayer and seeking the Lord. Okay. Any others, thoughts on what the top two would be? And I'll tell you, blessings in the Scriptures, 648 times to be blessed. Some of it's man's blessings. Some of it's blessing God. But when God says specifically that He's going to bless us, why does He say that? Okay. Because of our hope or desires. Okay. Interesting. Okay. That's another one. Because He loves us. Why does He love us? There's got to be a reason. He loves the devil's children. Does He love Hitler? We've been down that road. He doesn't love everybody. You know, if you've crossed that road and you're one of Delver's children, He doesn't love you. And, you know, He doesn't love Hitler, I guarantee it. There's a reason that He loves us. And that's probably the reason why I didn't give that one, because it tells a reason in the Scriptures, and I've kind of broken it down to these six things. And we'll get into it. I think maybe you agree with me when we get to it. All right. Because of our hope in righteousness or righteous desire. It's only listed, and I just went through, because the Book of Mormon has 185. I just went through the Book of Mormon. I didn't have time to go 600, and that's not just 600 verses. That's sometimes a whole paragraph I got to read. So I didn't have time to do the Bible also, but I did the Book of Mormon, and it's only found once, and I only found it once where I would say because of our hope or our desire, but it's still valid. He does bless us based on that, and there's one in Proverbs here also, but I didn't go through all of them. So 3 Nephi 13:14 says this, and He saith unto them, blessed are ye because of ye desire this thing of me. Therefore, after that ye are 72, ye shall come unto me in my kingdom, and with me ye shall find rest. And these was his, nine of his disciples here we're talking about. And they desired to be with Him in His kingdom. And they said they're blessed because of that. So they had a righteous desire. And He says, blessed are you for doing this. So good people, no doubt a righteous desire is a good thing to have. But only listed once about blessings. Maybe you can think some more in the Book of Mormon, but I went through them all. Doesn't mean they didn't put it a different way. Two times, just because. Number A, just because. And here's the ones I found that I attributed to just because. And even if it were possible that little children could sin, they could not be saved. But I say unto you, they are blessed. So little children, if they were to die, sad, very sad for us, but not for them. They would go immediately, their trial would be over, and they would go immediately to the Father, and they would spend their eternity in happiness. But it would be very sad for us, and we've known that pain. But that's just because of his dying on the cross. All right, they didn't do anything. They didn't to earn that. They just got blessed if they happened to die. Therefore, number the second one, 3 Nephi 12:19. Therefore, whatsoever ye shall do, better try the glasses. In my name, therefore, ye shall call the church in my name, and if ye call the Father in my name, he will bless the church for my sake. By my name. All right. It's given the of the Church of Christ. It's called in his name. It is has the gospel of Jesus Christ, and also then the Father blesses it. Okay? But he blesses the church just for the sake of Jesus' name. So just because, I found that twice. Next one. Prayer and seeking the Lord. I found this three times, and another time, six times. It didn't use specifically to bless, but they are truly blessings, those prayer and fasting. You know, that's another six times we find those that would fast and prayer were blessed. All right? And I didn't look up those for the all of them, but, you know, they came to mind. But specifically, it lists one here. Pray in your families unto the Father, always in his name, always in Christ's name, that your wives and your children may be blessed. So this is something that our families can be blessed if we're praying in our families as a unit. That specifically, if we're praying, we may be blessed. So that's something you can do for your family. Alma 29:61. Says this, and they did pray unto the Lord their God continually. Insomuch the Lord did bless them according to his word, so they did wax strong and prosper in the land. So why did they prosper in the land? Because they prayed to the Lord continually. That simple. They were constantly talking to the Lord. Some other examples. But this is not all. They given themselves to much prayer and fasting. Therefore, as a direct result, therefore they had the spirit of prophecy, they had the spirit of revelation, and when they taught with the power and authority, even with the power and authority of God. And one other thing they did there that I didn't list, they studied. They studied. But I've listed the prayer and fasting. That's part of it. That's definitely part of it. Okay, so it's only listed like nine times, and it's a powerful way to get blessings. Prayer and fasting, or seeking the Lord. Whoop. Prayer and seeking the Lord. Here, I've listed one more. And I searched for prayer in church. Yeah, and this is, many of the photos I found look like this, but so that's why I've got that. That's not our congregation. Alma 4:6 says this, nevertheless, the children of God were commanded that they should gather themselves together oft, like we're doing today, oft, and join in fasting and mighty prayer in behalf of the welfare of the souls of those that knew God, not God. So we're to unite our prayers in and meeting off for the welfare of our loved ones. And he hears our prayers every time. And, you know, sometimes, for several of us, he set out and blessed our loved ones, gave them a dream. You know, he intervenes on our behalf. He can't make them. He can't make them do anything. He can intervene on our behalf and show them what the world looks like without. So he can intervene on our behalf, prayer and fasting. And I, you know, I put this photo up. I couldn't hardly find a photo with the congregation kneeling on the floor. And this is not a very good picture, I'm afraid. You know, it shows people looking around during prayer. It shows all of them with their eyes open, looking around. And you know, I'm not too impressed that people don't humble themselves by kneeling, you know. I hope that's not a representation of the worldly churches, but I'm afraid it is, because I couldn't find hardly a picture out there with that didn't look like this. I don't know what that is. Oh. Okay. All right. All right, why do we receive blessings? F, because of our faith. You've got this is 10 times. Okay, because of our faith that we believe, put our trust in, or have exceeding faith. I found that the scriptures listed that we receive a blessing 10 times because of one of these reasons. And she said unto him, Alma 12, 139 and 140, and she said unto him, I have no witnesses, save thy word, and thy word of our servants. Nevertheless, I believe it shall be according to thou hast said. We've read an example in the Bible today that he says, just tell me that he's saved, or that he's healed, and I'll believe you. And it was a witness for us, you know, that this man had such astounding faith that the Lord didn't even have to go to the home. He was healed. This is another example. And Ammon said unto her, blessed art thou because of thy exceeding faith. I say unto thee, woman, there has not been such a great faith among the people of the Nephites. In this case, it was another example. These are Nephites. So, I mean, the other one doesn't necessarily mean wasn't a Israelite. Because this guy was a Nephite, and amongst the other Nephites he hadn't seen. So it's a mystery that verse meant to today. So I didn't pipe up because I didn't know. So exceeding faith, blessed. Because of our faith that we believe or put our trust in, our exceeding faith, 10 times. Here's a couple more. Thou art blessed because of thy exceeding faith. In thy works alone, words alone of my servant Abinadi. Okay, so just by the words alone, they were convicted. And it came to pass that the Lord spake unto me, for thou sought me diligently in lowliness of heart. And what I found with these when I started looking, blessed because of faith, it had to be something extraordinary. It wasn't just because I was a believer that I was blessed. It didn't say that. I mean, I couldn't find examples of that. What I found is if it exceeded. The Nephi sought him diligently with lowliness of heart. He humbled himself before the Lord, and that's where you'll find the Lord. And that's when you get the blessings. When it's extraordinary, when you seek him diligently with lowliness of heart, that's where I found that the Lord says, I'm going to bless this person. A couple more examples. Helaman. And now because of their steadfastness, when they do believe in that thing which they do believe, for because of their firmness, when they are once enlightened, behold, the Lord shall bless them and prolong their days, notwithstanding their iniquity. So it's their steadfastness he's looking at. They believe, they have faith, and they're steadfast in that. How would he know? You know, it's because of the things they do. They're steadfast in that belief. Nothing wavering. you know, that I think it's James that talks about the, you know, that he's not happy with the people that waver back and forth. One day they'll believe this and stand firm, the next day they believe something different. And it's because they have no rock to hold on to. They believe one thing one time and then they're convinced of something else the next. They're wavering like the weed. But he blessed them because they're steadfast in their belief. They're angry and did repent of their sins insomuch that the Lord did bless again with food and they did not perish. Alright? They're sorry. They turn from that. And the Laman, those Laman and Lemuel, they changed a few times, but they always went back to their misery. Baptism, repentance and baptism. This one, 23 times. 23 times it's listed in the Book of Mormon there that they were blessed because they were baptized or they repented and turned to God. 23 times. But if you repent and return unto the Lord your God, I will turn away my anger, saith the Lord. Yea, thus saith the Lord. Blessed are they which repent and turn unto me, but woe unto them that repenteth not. Repenting is changing course, isn't it? True repentance, turning around, that little sign says. That's what repentance is, changing your life. It's not saying, God, take all my sins and continuing in that sin. That doesn't work. That's not repentance. Another example, 3 Nephi 5:49. Yea, blessed are they which shall believe in your words and come down into the depths of humility and be baptized, for they shall be visited with fire and the Holy Ghost and shall receive the remission of their sins. So what's the blessing here? What's the blessing with those that are baptized? The Holy Ghost. What could be better than that? It's an abiding comforter. It's with them from that day on. That day on, what a blessing. Doesn't get any better than that, does it? And they got their sins forgiven. Now the top dog out there. Because of our labor in keeping his commandments. 53 times. Over double any of the other entries. Blessed are they who have labored diligently in his vineyard, and how cursed are they that shall be cast out into their own place. Alma 14:84. Behold, the field is ripe, and blessed are ye, for ye did thrust in your sickle, and did reap with your mites, yea, all the day they did labor. Lord blesses people that labor for him. 53 times he tells us that. That's the message that he wants heard. We have to labor. We have to do our part. We have to use our spiritual gifts. Take a sidestep here. What is the oldest religion? What's the oldest religion out there? I know some of you know. Christianity. Bar none. Not even close. From the time of Adam and Eve. So don't let those other people tell you, Confucius says, oh, it's that this old. Well, from Adam and Eve on down, there was Christianity. From Abel. And Abel, this is a commentary on Abel's gift to the Lord, all right? In Abel, he brought forth the firstling of his flock. As he was a shepherd, his flock consisted of sheep, and the firstlings of these are lambs that were brought forth. And he presented an offering unto the Lord, and which were the afterwards frequently used in sacrifice, and were a proper type of Christ. You know, how did Abel know that, you know, that was going to be the perfect sacrifice, a sheep, that God would become a lamb of the world and would be crucified? How did, you know, right from Abel, he just like picked the perfect sacrifice unto the Lord, you know? Out of it, he could have sacrificed his orange tree, or, you know, he could have taken a rodent or something like that. But how did he know that he grabbed this lamb and that was a perfect sacrifice right from the beginning? You know, Adam and Eve's child. Another one. When they were going to enter the ark, those Gentiles. We don't have many verses. We don't have many books on the Gentiles. But we do know things. They give us a peek. Of every clean beast, thou shalt take thee by sevens. You know, we all know the story. Noah took a male and female on the ark. But of the clean beasts, it says they took sevens. Why is that? Why are you taking by sevens? Okay. They need to eat. There was no prohibition that I know of that they couldn't eat a horse. Not at that time. This was before, long before the Israelis, long before Abraham. Okay? There's no problem. They could eat what they wanted. Yeah, they were vegetarian up then. Okay? So maybe they weren't eating those. Okay? So they're vegetarian, so why'd they have to take sevens? Sacrifice. Absolutely sacrifice. They were still doing it. They were still carrying out a sacrifice unto God. It was part of their worship of Jesus Christ. Or let's put it that way, it's part of their worship of God at that time. There was a little lamb there on the old spigot. It's not for sure that it was a lamb, but it probably was a lamb. It could have been a goat, but it was probably a lamb, the perfect gift. Melchizedek gives a little more hint into those days before the house of Israel. Therefore he is called the Prince of Peace, for he was king of Salem, and he did reign under his father. Now there were many before him, and also there were many afterwards, but none were greater. Therefore of him there were more particular made mention. So they talk more about Melchizedek, the high priest. But there were many high priests before him. And this is the time, 2300 BC, and there were many before him. All the way back to the beginning of man, there were high priests. There were of the order of Jesus Christ, telling his gospel. You know, many before the house of Israel. Many priests, okay? And we'll turn to this one. We'll turn to talk about the story. Alma 9:38. And that's a picture of Melchizedek. And Abraham gave him a tenth of all the spoils that he took. He gave the high priest. So it gave homage to a Gentile, if you will. Alma 9. And I'm not going to read all this, but I'll read 38 and 39 real quick, probably. Page 346, I'm hearing. Now we see that Adam did fall by partaking the forbidden fruit, according to the word of God. And thus we see that by his fall, that all mankind became lost in a fallen people. And now, behold, I say unto you that if it had been possible to partake the free of... Maybe that's a different story. But it goes on to talk about the plan of salvation. You know, a probationary time. A time granted that we repent in the flesh. Because after we die, it's too late. okay? This is your time for repentance. This is the time for working, okay? And then I'm going to jump over to 47. And after God had appointed these things should come unto man, behold, he saw it was expedient that man should know concerning these things whereof he should have appointed unto them. Therefore he sent angels to converse with them, which caused men to behold his glory. And they began to call, from that time, the time of Adam, to call on his name. And you'll find that that Noah's grandson, it lists that in the Bible in Genesis, I'm not sure, maybe Genesis 6. You can find that. They began to call on the Lord. And I don't know the difference between Abel, that was viewed as a righteous person, and this, and the next generation, why it says they began to call upon the name of the Lord. But speculation is they started attending church, if you will, right from the very beginning. And they began from that time to call upon his name. Therefore, God conversed with men and made known unto them the plan of salvation, which had been prepared from the foundation of the world. And this he made known unto them according to their faith, repentance, and holy works. Faith, repentance, and their holy works. And they also had a sacrifice they gave unto God. Right from the very beginning. Christianity. Why did I bring that up? Talks about the faith of Abel in Hebrews. The faith of Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that it was that he was righteous. God testifying his gifts, and he being dead yet speaketh. So it talks about that faith, doesn't he? There in the Bible. It talks about him being a righteous in the Bible. So they're doing right. They're following God's commandments. They're keeping themselves. You know, like I say many times, Adam and Eve didn't have to be told they were naked. They have that Holy Spirit within to tell them what's right and wrong. Okay, and then they had Melchizedek priesthood talking the gospel. So Christianity existed from the very beginning. But that sacrifice is what I wanted to bring out here. There's a new sacrifice. A new sacrifice. 3 Nephi 4:49 through 50. And ye shall offer up to me no more a shedding of blood, yea, your sacrifice and your burnt offering shall be done away. For I will accept none of your sacrifices and your burnt offerings, and ye shall offer for a sacrifice of me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Repentance. Talking about repentance here. Humble ourselves before God. And that's not just a one-time deal. We always say we're sorry, and we're going to stumble, and we continue to stumble. To say we're sorry and try to get back on the right path. And whoso cometh unto me with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, him will I baptize with fire and the Holy Ghost. You know, we just talked about that blessing. There's hardly a better blessing out there than have the we have that until the end. If we preserve that, we'll go to heaven. We preserve that Holy Spirit until the end, once he gives it to us. And that's our ticket, that's our key, if you will, into the kingdom of heaven. And unless you can go to Romans 8. Unless we have that Spirit of God when we die, we don't make it. So that new sacrifice. So right at the beginning, they were sacrificing unto God, Abel. And then the house of Israel was sacrificing animals unto God. But now there's a better sacrifice when Christ came. A better sacrifice. No pain, no gain. Who's that a picture of? I used that once before. Arnold. The Austrian. They all talk like that too. A little bit like that. Romans 12, 1 through 2. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. That's what... holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Your reasonable service as Christians. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that which is good, what is good, that is acceptable, perfect, the will of God. So that's your living service. You know, Arnold, if we do the same dedication that Arnold did to train his body with exercising the steel, you know, we'll be a spiritual heavyweight. If we have our bodies a living sacrifice. Mark 12, 41 and 44 through 44. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast the money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast much. And there was a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites. I don't know, that's a few pennies, right? Which make a farthing. And he called unto his disciples and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow cast more in than all which cast into the treasury. For they all cast in their abundance, but she offered her want, did cast in all that she had, even all her living. And if you think about the money that we earn, we give it to God. We worked so many hours for that money, didn't we? And this lady, that she gave all she had, just those two mites, you know, and she needed that. It was from her want. And I think about it, you know, I personally can do some things better than some other people. And when I give that, it's not as much of a sacrifice. I'm not boasting, Betsy. I'm just saying that if I have something and I do it, it's not as much of a sacrifice for me than it would be for somebody else. So that's why, you know, I think about that. If there's no pain, there's no gain. You know, if I do something easy or if I have something and I give it, that's not as much of a big deal to God than if I didn't have that. And that's the sort of thing I want you guys to think about. You know? No pain, no gain. If it doesn't hurt a little bit, if it doesn't put you out some way, then it's not, what's the sacrifice here? Right from the beginning, God had gave us sacrifice. It was a part of the worship. We have to sacrifice ourselves here. The ultimate sacrifice. These guys buried their weapons, and it says, and they died because they wouldn't defend themselves, because they were murderers before. It's not that it's bad to defend ourselves, but these guys were murdering guys and they couldn't do it anymore, or they might fall back into that trap. So they says, nope, we're not going to do it anymore. We might die. That's up to the Lord. But we're going to bury our weapons. For behold, they had rather sacrifice their lives than even take the life of their enemy. And they have buried their weapons of war deep in the earth because they love of their brethren. They didn't want to see they didn't want to kill a murderer. You know, their Lamanite brothers were murderers. They didn't want to kill those guys because they knew they did, they go straight to hell. You know, they says, better us that die in the love of God, we go to heaven than our brothers. And what? The number that died there, the Nephites, there was more brothers converted than the number died. And you find that God allowed a lot of sacrifices with the first generation of the Church of Christ. You know, almost all the apostles, they have record that were killed. Ignominious deaths. You know, and you know, John, you know, told one of them, you know, be of good cheer. Your death's awaiting, but then you come to see me. And it says, you're going to stay here 10 days, and then you're going to come see me. And they went to the lion pits and all that. And those guys had a lot of faith. They would rather die. And what was the purpose of that? What was the purpose? Same purpose here. The people see that there's nothing more important than the gospel of Christ. Nothing. Than the love of God. And they witness that to their death. Spiritual sacrifices. 1 Peter 2, 1 through 5. Wherefore, laying aside all malice, all guile, all hypocrisies, I got that right, and envyings, and evil speaking, as newborn babies desire the sincere milk of word, that ye may grow thereby. If it so be, have tasted the Lord's, that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming as a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, precious, yea also as lively stones, are built on a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God in Jesus Christ. What are spiritual sacrifices? What are they? Anybody have any ideas? Yeah, going against natural man. Anything we do for God, couple more slides is all. Hebrews 13, 15, and 16. By whom therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That's our sacrifice. If we're offering praise, that's our sacrifice of ourself to God. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. You know, we're always supposed to be in a season of prayer, aren't we? For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So the spirit of thanksgiving and communication, prayer. All right? He's well pleased with that sacrifice. Final slide. If we are to expect His blessings, we need to sacrifice our prime time. Not hit God when it's not convenient. You know, well, hey, we got nothing to do for the next half an hour or hour. Let's go to church. He wants our prime time. Our labor. You know, we all have to work for a living. You know, those that haven't retired yet, we all have to labor. But what about our prime time, the time that we have left? Is it God's? Our praise and thanksgiving, our communications continually. If we want His blessings, this is how to get them. This is how to get them. Listed over and over in the Scriptures. I have a little saying here. Sacrifice. Our sacrifice. Our time to God. What we give God's service. Alma 16:238, final. And they which live in thanksgiving daily for many mercies and blessings which He has bestowed upon you. Yea, and also I exhort you, my brethren, they be watchful unto prayer continually, that ye may not be led away with the temptation of the devil. So, you know, I like these. You know, they tell us if we want the things, it tells us exactly how to get them. And if we want God's blessings, we have to work. And that's exactly, 53 times out of all the times I looked, more than double anything else. If we increase our labor, we increase everything else. We increase our faith, we increase God's blessings upon us.